Before I launch into the scriptures, I want to call your attention to a special event on February 13. Many of you know that we have been reading the four signs of a dynamic Catholic as a parish. The first sign of a dynamic Catholic is very fitting because it's the year of prayer, and that first sign is a daily prayer life. So on February 13, we'll be transitioning to the second sign of a dynamic Catholic, and that's study. If we are to be missionary disciples, we need to sit at the foot of the master and study up on our faith, investing in faith formation. And so our second big follow-up event to last fall's diocesan assembly is a dinner, after which we'll have a presentation on how to effectively grow deeper in the knowledge of our faith, because it's the truth that sets us free, right? But we are going to have a special twist on that evening. Many of you know it's been over a couple months now since the death of Andy Beal. Amanda and the kids have moved to Georgia to be close to family, but we still want to show our support for them. And so the dinner that night on Valentine's Day Eve, so February 13, will be a special fundraiser dinner, thanks to one of our parishioners. It was his idea, Michael Pereskevich, who makes the best barbecue I've ever had. And so, in fact, so many people have been telling him that he should start a business with it, so he recently did, and he called it ODATS by Barbecue, ODAT being an acronym for one day at a time. So any proceeds from donations that evening will go to the Beal family. But here's the thing, because Big Mike has to order the beef and the chicken for that evening, we need your RSVP by tomorrow. So take a bulletin home with you as a reminder to leave a message at the office that you are planning on attending. So hopefully you can make it. You know, very Catholic event, faith, food, in order to help a family. So now for the homily. You know it's been the year of prayer, so both of our homilies and our bulletin articles have been going over the importance of a daily prayer life, as well as going over how to pray. So continuing that vein, I want to explain one spiritual exercise that is a very long revered ancient tradition. It's called Lectio Divina. And many of you have heard of that because I've mentioned it before. But what does anybody know what that Latin stands for? Lectio Divina stands for divine reading. Divine reading. And Lectio Divina is simply the prayerful meditation of sacred scripture. Because the Holy Bible contains God's revelation of himself to us, we don't approach it like we would any normal book. We meditate upon it, and we meditate upon its truths. We revere the Holy Word. You can even see us incense the book of the Gospels on occasion, on the high feast, because they were the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is power, real power, in the words of Scripture. And that power can have a huge transforming effect upon our lives when we apply what we find in the sacred Scriptures to our daily life. St. Paul said, Be renewed by the transformation of your mind. And sacred scripture plays a huge role in that renewal of our mind. Because, you know, we get a lot of junk thrown our way these days. From TV, from the internet, from social media, etc. It pollutes our minds. A lot of it does. And it affects how we see the world. So imagine if that was the only diet that our souls received. I mean, it's basically junk. A lot of it's junk food for the soul. We need to nourish our minds with God's truth and goodness to restore our faith, to restore our hope, and to restore our love. A lot of that is robbed by just drained away from us because of a world that it witnesses to the opposite of it. And we need to restore that faith, hope, and love, as we heard in that second reading, so that we can be agents of that in a world that desperately needs a heck of a lot more faith, a heck of a lot more hope, and a heck of a lot more love. But we can't give what we don't have. And so we need to marinate in God's truth and goodness through prayer, and specifically marinate in God's truth found in the sacred scriptures, which God uses to communicate with us and draw us deeper and deeper in his timeless wisdom, deeper into his divine embrace, so that we can be that to a world that needs that wisdom and that truth. So how do we effectively apply it to our lives? That's where Lectio Divina comes in, right? I've encouraged people to pray the scriptures, so I've mentioned Lectio Divina before, so let's summarize the five steps of Lectio Divina and try to remember these steps by memory so that you can use them to enter into your prayer using the scriptures tomorrow, right? The first step is the most obvious: reading, or lectio. That's what lectio means, is reading. You simply read the passage, and you read it slowly. And as far as like what passage do you read, if you're looking for a suggestion, it's the year of Luke, right? So grab your Bible and read just one passage at a time each day until you get through the book of Luke. It won't take the whole year, but or you can grab a Magnificat, that little missalette that Father Brian and I have a subscription to. Father Brian often carries it during his homilies, right? That missalette has the daily readings, not just for the Sundays, but for every day. So read the passage slowly so that it sinks into our minds. Then allow 1 or 2 minutes of just closing your eyes in silence, right? Then as you pay attention, you recall certain words or phrases that hit you. Ask God for the grace to grasp the facts of the passage, the who, the what, the where, the when, the why. And after that 1 or 2 minutes of silence, do a second slow reading of the passage. And this time, after that reading, have an extended silence. And what do you do with that extended silence? Well, that's when the second step comes in. It's meditatio, or meditation, right? Read, then meditate. This is simply the spiritual practice of meditation, of reflecting upon what we just read. And a good image for meditation that I've shared with you before is that an animal that, you know, quietly chews its cud, right? You can picture a cow just chewing hay all day long, and what, even regurgitating it to chew on it a second time, right? So we think, we imagine, we ponder, we chew, we mull over, particularly the words and phrases that strike you. This is the Holy, we're trying to be attentive to where the Holy Spirit might be leading us. You can repeat it to yourself like a mantra, allowing it to interact with our thoughts, our memories of the past, desires, our hopes. In other words, truly take the time to engage the scriptures. Place yourself in the setting of the story, utilizing all your senses. That's what Ignatian spirituality teaches us, right? Engaging all our senses. Maybe enter into the gospel scene, entering through the eyes of maybe one of the characters with whom you sense God is inviting you to identify. What would that person have thought? How would they have felt? You know, the Catechism states, meditation engages thought, imagination, emotion, and desire necessary to prompt the conversation of our heart and our will. So it's necessary for us, because we got so many things going on in the world, we got to engage our heart and will to silence our souls so as to be able to start hearing the voice of God. So you utilize all those things in order to help make what we read our own and applicable to our own life. Allow God's word to become his word for us. So let's use today's gospel passage as an example. In fact, I invite you to close your eyes for a minute and picture yourself there in Nazareth, right? Imagine the sights, the sounds, the smells even of that Middle Eastern podunk town. Imagine yourself as one of the townspeople as you enter into the synagogue. And there you begin to hear the words of this man that you've heard has worked wonders in the town up the way in Capernaum. He's been doing all kinds of miracles and he has words of wisdom. Imagine the people there first in awe and wonder at the words of Jesus. But then, as he knew their hearts and called them out on their lack of faith and their hidden motives, comparing them to a couple of other faithless generations in Israel's history where the Lord withdrew his hand of blessing because of their faithlessness and gave it to the Gentiles instead. And so you suddenly see the people turning on him. Maybe your own heart, you can see your own heart turn on Jesus because of the discomfort that whenever we feel we've been given a hard teaching, maybe a moral teaching that we may not fully agree with. And so we begin to turn on Jesus. And this causes not just tension in the congregation, but they begin to threaten him with violence. It's not too different from the reaction that supposedly controversial figures get these days on college campuses. But because the hour of Jesus' passion had yet to come, he simply passes through the midst of them, passes through the midst of our crowd there. So you can open your eyes now if you haven't already. So you see, brothers and sisters, as we contemplate and pray with the scriptures, and just in this brief moment of doing this Lectio Divina, this divine reading of today's gospel passage, we realize Jesus is truly Lord and Master. There were a number of times where the crowds even sought to kill Jesus. But because the appointed hour had yet to come, he passed through the midst of them. See, Jesus is in control of his destiny. He knows what he is about. God has become flesh for our salvation, and he will accomplish his saving mission for the world. But the appropriation of that salvation to us individually is up to us because of the free will that he's given us. He extends that invitation to you right now in every Mass, and you hear that invitation each time you go into your daily prayer, your personal time of prayer, and it's also in prayer that you give your response to Jesus' invitation. How will you respond? Will you take the time to respond with your daily yes in a life of prayer? To say no to the things that distract from those things or compete for our allegiance? So after these first two steps of reading and meditation, we go to the next step of prayer in oratio. That's what prayer is. So we've gone from lectio, reading, meditatio, meditation, oratio, prayer. This is our time of conversation with God. Right? The dynamics of communication that we have with other people apply in our prayer with God. Remember the whole R thing, right? We're building on that ARRR method of prayer. You first acknowledge that A, acknowledge the other's presence, so we recognize God is here with us. Next, you relate the stirrings of what's going on in your heart, that first R, in your heart and mind. And after you relate, then it's time to receive, which is basically the next step of Lectio Divina. After oratio, or prayer with God, where we relate to God, what's stirring in our heart and mind, it's time for contemplatio, contemplation. Right? That's where we wait to receive God's response to us. This is total gift, total grace. And that this is the way the union with God occurs. Right? We can dispose ourselves to that grace, and it's totally through God's initiatives. If it comes, if we sense it, great. If we don't sense it yet, that's okay too. You know, sometimes people who love one another don't need to say anything to each other. Just being with our beloved is the most important thing. As St. John Vianney said about his time of prayer, he spends so much time in adoration. And he says, what do you do in all those hours of prayer? Well, I look at him and he looks at me. That simple. Because the very same Holy Spirit that inspired those sacred scriptures that we meditate on is the same Spirit that abides in us through baptism, right? That animating Spirit that applies the truth that we read in God's Word and applies it to our particular circumstances. So the last step then, after the first three is resolution. It's finally resolution. So we read, we meditate, we contemplate, or we pray, we contemplate, and then we resolve. You resolve to do some action that day that puts the wisdom of Scripture into practice in what you're facing that day, or facing the next day if you pray, do this at night. You know, you can do this as little as 10 minutes to fill, or you can use it to fill your entire holy hour with it. Then there's, of course, an additional final step that you can do throughout the entire day. That's rumination, right? You ruminate, you continually recall what came to mind in your prayer time throughout the day and how it applies to your daily activities. And by doing this, you bring Jesus out to the world, to whatever circumstances you are. You incarnate Jesus Christ for other people. That's our mission. That's our vocation. That when people see you because of how Jesus has transformed your life in your life of prayer, they see Jesus Christ in you and are drawn to know him because of how you've changed. This is the dynamic of prayer, right? Take our Blessed Mother as an example. St. Luke says, Our Lady, as she experienced these sacred mysteries firsthand, Mary kept all these things reflecting on them in her heart. That's akin to what we do in Lectio Divina. The divine reading of these sacred mysteries is how we can do what Mary did in our own time and place. You know, another thing that you can do to marinate in God's Word, to keep it in mind all the time, is to keep a prayer journal. We have those mass journal. We handed out those mass journals before, and one of our parishioners actually gave me a filled out one as an example. She has a bunch of them because she's been filling out every single mass she goes to. She writes down the nugget, the phrase, the little gem that she got from that reading, from that homily, even focusing on a phrase in the Eucharistic prayer. As she's listening to the Eucharistic prayer, maybe a certain phrase will jump out and she'll chew on that for the rest of the Eucharistic prayer. You don't have to pay attention. If something strikes you in the Eucharistic prayer, chew on it. Meditate on it. You don't have to pay attention to the rest of the words if you're meditating on the divine mysteries that you feel like the Holy Spirit has prompted you in Mass. So using the principles of Lectio Divina to assist you in praying the Mass. And use the time of silence that's built into the Mass to remind yourself that you should be in a meditative or contemplative mode of relating and receiving this dynamic that should happen in Mass. And when you're in that mode, it goes like this, right? So perhaps write down a phrase or two. Maybe bring a mass journal yourself. It doesn't have to be the mass journal itself. You can just take any blank journal and take it with you to mass and write down a phrase or two that sticks out with you. Take that home. Maybe read the passage again. That phrase to launch your personal prayer time so that you're actually getting something out of the mass into your lives, into your daily lives. Instead of, you know, hearing, oh, wow, that was so inspiring, and then totally forgetting about it, and then it hasn't affected your life, and you come on next Sunday, oh, my gosh, that was such a great thought. And then nothing happens because why? We don't meditate, we don't marinate in God's word that he's communicated to us. But if you keep a journal and you go back to it in prayer, not only will you see it affect your daily life, but it was pretty neat to thumb through her journal and say, oh my gosh, that I said that, or Father Brian said that, and these little beautiful gems, and it becomes a testament to how God, the Holy Spirit, has communicated to you specifically. And you'll see that God does work, and that God does transform your life, and that your all that junk in the world is getting filtered out, because it's getting your soul is getting renewed by the truths, the eternal and abiding truths of God's wisdom that surpasses all these passing things. So it's so important what we do here, right? Because of all the stuff that we encounter in the world, we need to abide in the eternal truth. So maybe make a resolution right now to listen for something in the Eucharistic prayer. Maybe it's the words I say to God, "You give life to all things." Don't mind the rest of the prayer if you're chewing on that beautiful reality that God sustains all things in existence. That if he did not have his gaze upon you right at this very second, you would cease to exist. I mean, I could stop right now and contemplate that truth in awe and wonder for quite a while. Maybe it's Jesus' words, "This is my body given up for you." Ask for the light of the Holy Spirit to go deeper into the depths of that mystery of God's love expressed in the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of his very life given for you, specifically you. So to summarize, first we read, which we've done here in Mass. Next we meditate, we choosing a phrase or two that sticks out to us. Then we pray or relate to God, then we contemplate or receive God's response to us, and then finally we resolve. How about you resolving at this Mass to utilize Lectio Divina tomorrow morning in prayer? I recall those same words of St. Paul I said in the beginning, "Be renewed by the transformation of your mind." Let's use the power of God's word, his eternal truths, to counteract all that junk thrown our way. Why does everyone seem on edge? It's a lot of folks just seem on edge these days. It's because we allow ourselves, we even actively expose ourselves to material on the TV, the internet, social media that are unsettling, that doesn't do our souls any good. And it's unsettling. It's one thing to know what's going on in the world. It's, you know, it's important to know what's going on in the news. It's another thing to repeatedly inundate ourselves with all the negativity and all the self-righteous opining that purports itself as news these days. Talk about, if that was my only diet, how depressing I would be, right? So be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's the great gift of immersing oneself in the sacred scriptures. So I want to conclude with a quote from Pope Emeritus Benedict. He said this about Lectio Divina: "This practice will bring to the church, I'm convinced of it, a new springtime." So make 2019 that new springtime in your life, our life here as a parish family, and by extension, life here in our home of Jackson, which is the mission field in which God has called us.